This is Audible.
Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents King of the World, The Life of Cyrus the Great by Matt Waters, read by Michael Page. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to visual elements present in the print and e-book formats of the book. Preface. Cyrus the Great, the founder of the Achaemenid Persian Empire, reigned from 559 to 530 BCE. He was a transformational figure in world history and many things to many people. To the early Persians and Elamites, Cyrus was an exceptional leader who launched them onto a world stage stretching from Central Asia to Anatolia and beyond, a visionary responsible for a dramatic rise in their fortunes, both figuratively and literally. To the ancient Babylonians, he was cast as a king in the frame of Hammurabi. Although of foreign origin, he was represented as fully vested in their traditions. To the ancient Judeans, he was a foundational figure responsible for their freedom from Babylonian domination, literally termed a messiah figure, who facilitated the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon and inaugurated what today is called the Second Temple period. To ancient Greek and Roman writers, Cyrus was a model ruler, in whom were crystallized the highest qualities of leadership and ingenuity, but who could also be a relentless and ruthless general. In modern times, the same superlatives are also applied to Cyrus, who remains for many a nationalistic symbol that encapsulates the glory of the earliest periods of Iranian history. What made him so great? Beyond the epithet Great King, of course, which was a title claimed by a host of kings in antiquity, but one that did not often stick after their reigns. For that matter, the epithet Great has been applied to a number of people throughout history, often, but certainly not always, assigned after their lifetimes, a function of being remarkable in their physical characteristics or outstanding in their abilities or accomplishments. These all applied to Cyrus, the particulars of which will be explored throughout this book. Cyrus the individual remains elusive, however, as he left no surviving testimony beyond a handful of royal inscriptions. We must sift several often disjointed ancient perspectives to get a sense of the man. Nonetheless, Cyrus was an object of fascination even in antiquity among several peoples, and it is remarkable that he attained and maintained such positive press in almost all sources, across cultures and across centuries. Cyrus thus remains a worthy object of attention for the imprint he left on world history anywhere the ancient Achaemenid Empire touched in antiquity and its extensive but sometimes subtle legacy thereafter. Unless noted otherwise, references to Cyrus are to be understood throughout this book as referring to Cyrus II, in other words, Cyrus the Great. There were other Cyruses, notably Cyrus the Great's grandfather, who, when discussed, will be referred to as Cyrus I. Another prominent Cyrus dates from the late 4th century, Cyrus the Great's great-great-great-grandson, called Cyrus the Younger in modern literature. The name Cyrus is, of course, anglicized from the Latin spelling of the name. In Greek, it was Kouros, in Hebrew, Koresh, in Elamite and Babylonian, Kurash, and in Old Persian, Kurush. The title of this book is taken from one of the royal epithets from Cyrus' few extant inscriptions, dedicated shortly after his conquest of what had been the Babylonian Empire in 539 BCE. The Babylonian title Shar-Kishati, the King of the World, as it applied to Cyrus, both implied and indicated just that. The word Kishati meant totality, encompassing everything, and indeed some modern translations prefer the translation universe to relay that sense. The translation world seems sufficient here to demarcate Cyrus' rule over the realm of humans as distinct from that of the gods. The title Shar-Kishati was not new, but when Cyrus became king of the world, it was closer to a literal reality than for any ruler before him in history. But even then, Cyrus did not rule Egypt, for centuries part of the same world, the ancient Near East, the region referred to as the Middle East today. And, of course, the title did not allow for lands beyond the Indus Valley, or especially beyond the Himalayas. Nonetheless, Cyrus' dominion dwarfed the largest empire that preceded him, the Assyrian Empire. And within two generations after his death, his successors Cambyses, Cyrus' son, Darius I, married to Atossa, one of Cyrus' daughters, and Xerxes, Cyrus' grandson, had added additional territories, including Egypt and other parts of northeastern Africa, as well as the Indus Valley. This is shown in Map 1. This, the Achaemenid Persian Empire, was eclipsed only briefly by Alexander the Great upon his conquest of it, and only matched again by the height of the Roman Empire a few centuries later.